attempt to sue for peace, which they too believed the culture must inevitably make. Having drawn up these no-lose formulations of the likely course of events, the adherents joined battle with the culture without qualm or hesitation. At worst, they perhaps considered that the war was being begun in an atmosphere of mutual incomprehension. They could not have envisaged that while they were understood almost too perfectly by their enemy, they had comprehensively misapprehended the forces of belief, need, even fear, and morale operating within the culture. The War, briefly. The first Idiran culture dispute occurred in AD 1267, the second in 1288. In 1289, the culture built its first genuine warship for 5 centuries, in prototype form only. The official excuse was that the generations of mind-generated warship models the culture had kept in development had evolved so far from the last warcraft actually built that it was necessary to test the match of theory and practice. In 1307, the third dispute resulted in machine fatalities. War was publicly discussed in the culture as a likelihood for the first time. In 1310, the peace section of the culture split from the majority population, while the Ankrumin Pit Conference resulted in the agreed withdrawal of forces, a move which the more short-sighted adherents and culture citizens respectively condemned and acclaimed. The fourth dispute began in 1323, and continued, with the culture using proxy forces, until 1327, when the war officially began, and culture craft and personnel were directly involved. The culture's war council of 1326 resulted in several other parts of the culture splitting away, renouncing the use of violence under any circumstances. The Adiran culture war conduct agreement was ratified in 1327. In 1332, the Hamomda joined the war on the Adiran side. The Hamomda, another tripedal species of greater galactic maturity than either the culture or the Adirans, had sheltered the Adirans who had made up holy remnants during the Second Great Exile, 1345 to 991 BC, following the Skankatrian-Adiran War. The remnants and their descendants became the Hamomdan's most trusted crack ground troops, and following the Adiran's surprise return and retaking of Idir in 990 BC, the two tripedal species continued to cooperate on terms that came closer to equality as Adiran power increased. The Hamomda joined with the Adirans because they distrusted the growing power of the culture. They were far from alone in having this feeling, though unique in acting on it overtly. While having relatively few disagreements with the humans, and none of them serious, it had been Hamomdan policy for many tens of thousands of years to attempt to prevent any one group in the galaxy, on their technological level, from becoming overstrong, a point they decided the culture was then approaching. The Hamomda at no point devoted all their resources to the Adiran cause. They used part of their powerful and efficient space fleet to fill the gaps of quality left in the Adiran navy. It was made clear to the culture that if the humans attacked Hamomdan home planets, only then would the war become total. Indeed, limited diplomatic and cultural relations were maintained, and some trade continued between the Hamomda and the culture throughout the war. Miscalculations. The Adirans thought they could win alone, and so, with Hamomdan support, assumed they would be invincible. The Hamomda thought their influence would tip the balance in the Adirans' favour, though would never have been prepared to risk their own future to defeat the culture anyway. And the culture minds had guessed that the Hamomda would not join with the Adirans. Calculations concerning the war's duration, cost and benefits had been made on this assumption. During the war's first phase, the culture spent most of its time falling back from the rapidly expanding Adiran sphere, completing its war production changeover and building up its fleet of warships. For those first few years, the war in space was effectively fought on the culture side by its general contact units, not designed as warships, but sufficiently well-armed and more than fast enough to be a match for the average Adiran ship. In addition, the culture's field technology had always been ahead of the Adirans, giving the GCUs a decisive advantage in terms of damage avoidance and resistance. These differences, to some extent, reflected the two sides' general outlooks. To the Adirans, a ship was a way of getting from one planet to another, or for defending planets. To the culture, a ship was an exercise in skill, almost a work of art. The GCUs, and the warcraft which gradually replaced them, were created with a combination of enthusiastic flair and machine-oriented practicality the Adirans had no answer to. Even if the culture craft themselves were never quite a match for the better Hamomdan ships, for those first years, nevertheless, the GCUs were vastly outnumbered. That opening stage also saw some of the war's heaviest losses of life, when the Adirans surprise attacked many war-irrelevant culture orbitals, occasionally producing billions of deaths at a time. As a shock tactic, this failed. As a military strategy, it deflected even more resources from the already stretched Idiran Navy's main battle groups, which were experiencing great difficulty in finding and successfully attacking the distant culture orbitals, rocks, factory craft, and general systems vehicles, which were responsible for producing the culture's material.